This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 from the Gau Studios in Houston. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, that one's for you, Leo. I know you're a rocker, buddy. Coming back with a little Def Leppard. All these guys were born in Sheffield, so they grew up playing the game. They were either Sheffield United or Sheffield Wednesday fans.
So that's a little Def Leppard. Coming back, Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Roundtable time. We're going to get some reaction from a couple of people here tonight. Leo Ponce writes for Keeper Notes. He is in studio now. Leo, thank you very much for coming in studio. Also in studio is Justin Jerkins, formerly a Dynamo Theory, a guy who's been in and around the Dynamo a lot, pays attention to the Houston Dynamo as well. Gentlemen, thank you very much for coming in studio here. We're getting everybody situated still. Mike Chabala, former Dynamo defender, he is on his way as well. What I'm going to do is I'm going to start it off here, and I'm going to run, Leo, a little piece with Kubo Torres. Because coming into the season, Kubo Torres is a big piece of kind of a lot of questions around the Dynamo. And without a doubt, the Dynamo have become a more competitive team positionally. They have become a younger team. Question is around a designated player named Kubo Torres. So here's a quick interchange I had today with Kubo Torres, and I thanked him for doing this in English.
So, Kubo, how excited are you for the game against New England Sunday?
No, I feel very, very good, very, very excited for the team. I think the team, we have a very good work, we have a good precision, and I think the team wait to the best New England. We wait to the best team, and we hope play good for the team. We hope win the first game. It's very important win the game in house, and I feel very good now.
This preseason, how important is it for you to get a full preseason here and be with the team from the very beginning?
Yes, it's a little bit different this season because I start the preseason, I start the year with my friends, with the team. I start the preseason, and this is very, very important for one player. For me, it's very important, no? And now I hope play good. I feel very good. I feel my mentality is good, and my body, my
physically
is I feel very good, and only wait for the opportunity for the coach to give me more minutes, and I hope play very good and score goals. No?
Kubo, thank you very much. And by the way, your English is very good.
Yes, I need try more. I need got more English, more class English.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. All right. So, Leo, I'm going to start it off with you. A couple of thoughts on Kubo. He is a designated player. With that comes the assumption that he should be playing all the time, and a team is built around a designated player. Give me your thoughts on Kubo.
Kubo Torres, kind of, as we all know, had some issues in the last season and probably didn't come in as physically fit as some people expected him to. This season, though, now that he has a whole preseason with the team and I've actually been there and seen him in some trainings, he seems to be gelling with the team a lot better. He still kind of started the preseason kind of roughly, but now with time has actually improved. And as you saw, as soon as the preseason kind of got further into it, as he got further into it, he actually started improving a lot more, connecting with the other with the other forwards and with his other teammates. I also feel like a good sometimes one thing that has been overlooked is the fact that he's not only a forward, he can, well, not only like a pure striker, he can make passes for goals. He can open up spaces. That is something that the Houston Dynamo have needed, something that we used to see Karin Bruin do together. One striker will kind of open up space for another one.
Yeah, but before we get to the notion and the assumption that they're going to play with two strikers, we're talking about a man likely who's going to be competing for a lone striker, because I think opening day we're going to see a lone striker there. So the competition is between him, Will Bruin, and, of course, Mauro Manotas is a guy that doesn't look like he wants to be denied. So, Justin, as I turn it over to you now, doesn't the designated player sort of that label, which unfortunately we got all these labels in MLS, Leo, but that label kind of says to fans that, hey, this is the guy our team's going to be built around, yet really Kubo's in the fight for his life for playing time.
Right, yeah. And I think it makes it really hard to make that decision to bench him if it comes to that. But, you know, I think it was Leo that did an article on Mauro Manotas recently and just about his development over this past offseason in Colombia training, checking off the list that Owen gives him at the end of the last year. And he looks tremendously more prepared than he was last year coming into the league. So I think that Mauro provides that kind of competition for Kubo that either Kubo is going to have to respond to, and Kubo is going to have to start hitting those goals that he couldn't, that he struggled to get last year. Even if he's got that designated player tag, he might be sitting on the bench. Let Mauro give a run out.
Are you saying him and Mauro are competing for the second striker behind Will Bruin?
I think Will is definitely in that conversation. Yeah, Will doesn't have a lock
on
his position.
His salary got up quite significantly. So
that makes those decisions a little bit more on the hair trigger, I think.
This is what I think is really fascinating about the striker role, because they are three uniquely different strikers, Leo.
Yeah, they are, and what I was going to bring up later on is I didn't really mean that Kubo Torres wouldn't be a lone striker, just that now he's going to have two players, as I'm projecting, kind of in Wenger and Barnes, that are going to open up space for him. Or, you know, if Kubo Torres wants to go to the side, to the wing, there's always Barnes that is used to the striker position that could come in and fill in that role whenever it's actually, you know.
Well, that's the hope going to a winger-based system and one that's going to have a little bit more pace and athleticism, because I think for me the first thing is this team has lacked penetrators. I mean, when you look at the team last year, who were the two penetrators? They were essentially DeMarcus Beasley, who's a left back, and your other one is Giles Barnes, who the Dynamo, to be fair, only got a half of a season out of. So here's another big question, Justin. Can Giles Barnes produce over the course of an entire season, and then we truly talk about him amongst the elite in MLS, because we saw him do some things early last year that was just head shaking.
Yeah, they were fantastic, and I think that I think last year was a lot of unknown territory for him. I think that he was he played a huge role in the international game for Jamaica, and I think that was the travel involved in the Copa America, plus the travel involved in the Gold Cup. I think that was exhausting for him, especially hitting such a nice run going into the summer, that I think coming out of that it shouldn't be that surprising that he's a little fatigued. So
here's what's surprising to me. Jamaica can find a way to play in both the Copa America and the Gold Cup. And we as the United States can't.
Yeah.
Another missed opportunity.
Well, wasn't it the last time that we played a U.S. team? Didn't we send like a C team out
Bob
there?
When Bob Bradley was there.
Yeah.
But they're tournaments to gather experience. If Jamaica can find a way to do it and take the experience, why can't we? All right. So I'm going to take it back to you, Leo. And we're still waiting for Mike Tshabala. He'll be in studio. I said last year before the season, if the Dynamo make the playoffs, it's a bonus because of a new manager coming in, a new staff, all of the tangibles that make this an interesting and difficult league to coach in, because we've had little success from foreign managers in MLS. Owen Coyle now has gone through it. The grace period, is over, right?
Yeah, and last season you could make the argument that he didn't build the team. This season, as we see by the turnover and the time that he's dedicated to it, he's built this team. So now he doesn't have the excuse that he did last season. And I would say that due to...
Well, let's be fair. He never made an excuse.
Oh, no, he didn't.
I think what we thought out here in the media is that, you know, like any person coming into this league, I mean, us three right now can't figure out the player categories in this league. It's that confusing, and it's confusing to fans. So think about it from a guy that's coming from a different situation. So what I like about him, he is not an excuse man.
No, he's not. And he said, hey, we got close, and I'm disappointed that we weren't there because we beat the teams that were in the final. He admitted to that was his biggest disappointment. But what I am going to say is that now he's had that whole year, he sent the players with a checklist, as Justin brought up, and I've gotten in a lot of interviews, he sent the players with things to work on. And that's going to open up an amazing array of possibilities, because now he's shaped those players. And
He's also got 9 new additions that he's had a say in bringing here, along with Matt Jordan. So that's the other piece to this. It becomes now Owen Coyle's team, which is what I referred to in that interview we played earlier.
Exactly. You know, and from what I've seen, a player like a Goose, he's a great defender. He has vision from the back. And he's going to open up the Dynamo offensively while also being a rock on defense. And that is something that the Dynamo really need. They need to kind of be an all-out team, all-out attack, all-out defense. Because that's the one thing that Dom's teams were...
Hold that thought, because we're going to a hard break, Leo. We're going to come back with that more. Quick word here for Amigo Energy. They're excited that the Dynamo season is about to kick off. And, of course, all the other great competitions that are coming through Houston. Whether it's spring cleaning, spring training camp, it's a great time to shop for affordable electricity. You are like me. You want to save on your electricity. This month's featured program is Basics 24-month program. Amigo Energy Basics 24, no minimum usage fee. No hidden customer service or payment fees. It's just a great low rate. You heard me, a great low rate. Don't let the dust gather. AmigoEnergy.com/soccer matters. AmigoEnergy.com/soccer matters. If you want to save money, sign up for Basics 24 today, 888-995-9299. Tell them you heard it on Soccer Matters. That's 888-995-9299. Save money with Amigo Energy. We'll take a break, 7-Up Bud Light break. We come back with more Leo Ponce, Justin Jerkins, and, hopefully Mike Jabala.
Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the Gao Studios in Houston, here's Glenn Davis.
Welcome back to Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. A quick word here for the Gorgeous Gale. Gorgeous Gale is over in West University. Great pub for watching games and matches. Really open floor plan. A good friend over there, Peter, and I was down there this week. I got invited over there by... the Liverpool supporters group. My thanks to Roger and Matt. And for all of you who now say I'm a Liverpool fan, listen to me very carefully. I do not have a dog in the fight. The Gorgeous Gale is a sponsor. What I do love is soccer fans. And what I do love are great soccer matches. So for all of you who were really saying a couple of you said some really dumb things because I'm at an event. No dog in the fight. What I was thoroughly impressed with is that the Liverpool supporters group had 100-plus people there, and they all had red jerseys on. Pretty impressive. And whether you're Chelsea, Spurs, who I think meet at Bayern Munich, Manchester United, who are over on Washington, it's all good, all right? It's all good, and we all work off each other. So... if you're going to get silly with me about the territorial thing and that I show up at a place, it is
just silly. And quite frankly, I don't give a damn because I'm there for the sponsors who help put this show on the radio. So there you have it. All right. So that's my rant. All right. Welcome back to the show. 7-Up Bud Light. We thank you for all your great support of the game in studio. Justin Jerkins, formerly a Dynamo Theory, big Dynamo fan, follows Major League Soccer. Leo Ponce of Keeper Notes. I'm going to go to you, Justin. So turnover, youth, competition for places, I get the sense that that's heavily improved now.
Yeah, I think a lot of the turnover decisions helped really bolster the depth. They brought in Anibaba, Mansali, and Wenger, and those are three mid-20s MLS veterans. And I think that does a few different things. I think that helps bolster the team to cover any injuries, international absences, what's kind of crippled the Dynamo in the last couple of years at least. Provides competition at spots, and I think that it also helps make the Dynamo a legitimate contender for something like the U.S. Open Cup, too, which is something that I know most Dynamo fans have not historically seen ever, really, certainly not in Kinnear's reign. So I think that the moves made help really pile on the depth more than last year. But at the same time, it's going to be interesting to see how the pieces actually fit together. There's competition up and down the roster, and you've got a lot of core pieces from last season. David Horst, for example, whose status is maybe up in the air with Auguste coming in. So
let me stop you there. You mentioned Mansali and Anibaba. So right. Two guys that are very versatile, not big salary cap hits.
Right.
Guys that you have to have on a Major League Soccer roster. I don't think there's any question. They have to be able to play multiple positions. I go back to – who was the player you mentioned after that? Agus, right?
Agus.
To go to Spain and get David Rocha and Agus, and I'll throw this to you as well, Leo, after Justin comments on it. We're going to Spain to get two guys who are going to start, right? We're not going to get squad players. We're going to get starters, right?
You would think so, right?
I mean, aren't they projected starters?
I think that they would be projected starters.
At some point.
But at the same time, I think it was Owen Coyle who said that there's a lot of different ways that they can kind of compete. And I think by that, he means that there's a lot of different combinations of these players you could put together. While I think the Spaniards that
he
are
is
new,
on first floor
are projected starters, I don't think that they've got that position locked up, and I don't know if they've necessarily earned it yet, especially from what I've seen in preseason. So,
your thoughts, Leo, on the two Spanish signings who have not had a full preseason here. What do you think? I mean, if you're going to Spain to pick up players, aren't they being brought here to be starters, or? Are we going to Spain for squad players?
The argument could be made that we should be going over there for starters, but at this particular moment,
and I'm not talking about now because they've come late in preseason. I believe Matt Jordan brought these men to be starters.
Yeah, of course, but first they'll need to kind of gel with the team, and for now. Rocha, and for now, I don't see Rocha taking over a spot that a Maidana is playing in or that anybody else is playing in. Because what I see is that Rocha would kind of have to fill in Maidana's spot, if you will.
Yeah, I don't see that. I see him as a holding midfielder next to Ricardo Clark competing now with Lima. And I think Alex is going to be the guy who starts there on opening day. That's just my gut. Yeah. I think that was a tremendous signing from the Dynamo last year.
I see Rocha as also being a bit more creative than an Alex Lima, if you will. So,
well, how do we get the best out of Maidana? That means Ricardo Clark and whoever wins that job next to him, I would assume, are going to play a very pivotal role in supplying the ball to Maidana in the right areas. Because if that gets cut off and he doesn't get a lot of the ball and it's going in and around him, it will be a little bit more difficult, in my opinion.
The only issue I see is that I haven't seen Rocha play defensively enough. And behind Maidana, you're going to need two very defensive midfielders. You know, and that's the only argument that I'm making against, you know, maybe starting a Rocha there that I haven't seen much defense from, just because that'll make me feel uneasy with letting Maidana kind of run away freely. You know, and that's the only issue that I'm picking up there. Of course, it could all come later in the season. Rocha could end up being a defensive.
I think for sure we definitely, and Mike, you've been through a lot of preseasons before. We have to be careful not to judge too much on the opening game, right? It's all not going to sink or swim after Sunday night. It might be not a great game because, remember, the Dynamo 2 years ago had an unreal blowout against New England where we all thought the MLS Cup was 2 feet away from us. And then last year they had a nice start against Columbus, I think a 1-0 win. So talk about that opening game, Mike, and what it is for a player on the first game and maybe curbing our enthusiasm a little bit, not in a bad way, but just in a way that we don't judge the whole season on one game.
Yeah, I think all the Dynamo supporters are really excited, though. It's been a long off season, so everybody's really anxious to get going again. The one thing you have to remember, too, though, is, I mean, it's a long season. And just like the Portland Timbers finishing strong at the end of the season, it's not how you start, but how you finish. And I think one of the most important things is if you go back in history, I can remember with the Dynamo in 2007 and a horrific start. I think we didn't even win maybe more than two games in D.C. and Dominic Kinnear's yelling at everybody to kind of get it going. And, you know, and then you go on like a summer streak and you're unbeaten for, you know, 10, 15 games at home. So it's not really about the first game that's starting out. I think it's just to kind of feel there's a lot of new players. You know, Owen's trying to feel himself out too for this coming year after the first original one. So, but I think there's a lot of exciting players that they've added to the club, and I think this is going to be an exciting season for the Dynamo. I'm excited to see what happens.
Lots of optimism. I don't think there's any question. We're going to take a hard break here. We'll come back. We'll start it off with Justin, Mike Chabala making in his studio right now. Quick word here again for the Daspit Law Firm. They work for you 24/7. Houston personal injury attorneys, they handle personal injury cases. It could be anything, plant, refinery, medical injuries, industrial accidents. We had John Daspit up here one night and one of his lawyers, Michael Grinsfelder. DaspitLaw.com, 713-364-CHECK. Your phones, guys, 0915 is the number. DaspitLaw.com. With the Daspit Law Firm, you can rest more assured in times of stress. Depending on the circumstances of your accident, you have a hard-hitting personal injury attorney. Daspit Law Firm. They are firm supporters of Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5, both in English, 888-273-1045. 7-Up break. It is great solo or as a mixer. We'll be back. Much, much more. Bud Light might be flowing here.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the Gao Studios in Houston, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, quick word here for Bud Light, the official beer of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Bud Light reminds you that there are tons of great soccer matches coming through Houston this year, whether it's a Copa Centenario, the Houston Dash, the Houston Dynamo, Mexican League matchup coming at the end of this month. Bud Light reminds you to get down to the beautiful BBVA Compass Stadium. Bud Light is the perfect beer for whatever happens, and Bud Light is the official beer of Soccer Matters here on ESPN 797.5. And welcome back, Mike Chabala, former Dynamo defender in studio, Leo Ponce of Keeper Notes, a writer, and also Justin Jerkins, who in the past has worked with Dynamo Theory and big on the Houston Dynamo and following the Dynamo. Okay, we're going to play a little interview here, a little exchange here today with Giles Barnes on a couple of topics, and then we'll talk a little Giles after this. Here's Giles Barnes earlier today at Media Day.
Well, Giles, let's just talk about opening day and the excitement of after going through a preseason, getting ready to get out there against New England.
Yeah, this is what you prepare for. You know, the offseason was very long, getting back into the routine, and I'm itching to get out there now as well, especially after playing with everybody in the team, getting used to everyone. It's been a really good preseason. Everyone's got to know each other on and off the pitch, so it's brilliant, and we can't wait to get out there.
A lot of changes this year. Obviously, the transition began last year. How is this Dynamo team different?
This Dynamo team, I don't want to give away too much, but I'm really excited. I think it's going to be very exciting to watch. We're going to be hard to beat, and I think the fans are going to be very pleased with what they see going on this year.
Is it a little different playing now with an out-and-out playmaker that might have a little less defensive responsibility in Chaco Maidana?
Yeah, but, you know, he's embraced the box-to-box two-way player that the Dynamo's always gone by, you know. He's not taking his defensive responsibilities lightly, which is good to see as well.
Last thing before I let you go. Putting a full season together, obviously a big deal for you. You got all the international experience last year. Fatigue, injury played a part in it. How does Giles Barnes navigate the full season here? Because you got some Jamaica dates as well in your future.
Yeah, I just got my Jamaica dates about 20 minutes ago, actually. So we've got, obviously, the qualifiers coming up. But, you know, for me in the off season, the staff gave me a complete rest. Usually they give you a program to follow by, but they gave me a complete rest to shut down and let everything just kind of heal and get back to normal. This year is going to be a little bit different as well. I'll be picking and choosing where I do play friendlies for Jamaica. As I said, you know, my bread and butter is with the Houston Dynamo, and that's what I really want to concentrate on as well.
Giles, best of luck against New England Sunday. Going to be a big day.
Nice one, Glenn. Thank you.
All right, Justin, I start with you. Let's focus on two things. We're going to start with his last comment there.
Mm-hmm.
In order for this team to go far, to be in the playoffs, Giles Barnes has to give a complete season.
Yeah, and it's kind of like what I said earlier. I think that he's more prepared to do that this year. I think that he kind of knows better how to kind of manage his fatigue as the season gets going, and knowing how to play with Will or whoever's really up top, whether it's Kubo or Moro, whoever. I think that he's in a much better position to really give a full season performance.
And Leo, it's pretty public knowledge that he went to the Jamaica coach, Winnie Schaefer, and said basically, look, I can't be a part of all these friendly matches. I'll be there for the big moments for Jamaica, but I'm going to have to eliminate, based on an MLS and a Dynamo schedule, some of these other friendlies.
Yeah, and that's something that Coyle brought up in the end of the season roundtable, that he needed players that were going to be present for the club. And that is one issue that had come up whenever he lost Boniek, Giles Barnes, Garrido, DeMarcus Beasley, and everything. So it's kind of nice to see that some of these players are taking the initiative and telling them, we can't always be there. We're going to need to put the club first sometime. Because in the end, the club does pay for your check. And you can't have a player flying around across the continent and then coming back and having an MLS game. That led to Boniek picking up a lot of injuries last season due to some of that travel.
Not only last season, the year before the World Cup, he got hurt in the last game with the Houston Dynamo, which nobody ever made a big deal about. But his entire Honduras team was already together, and it kind of messed up his World Cup. He did not play in the friendlies in the run-up. I think he played in game 2 and 3 maybe, but that was a problem. Mike, I'm going to take you into Giles.
Yep.
Look, we saw some incredibly electric moments. I mean, when this guy's in full flight, catapulting defenders, beating people, it's exciting. But in order for him to get into the elite of this league, he's got to do it consistent.
Yeah, I mean, but like I said, somebody asked me the other day, like, who is one of the best players you play with? I said, Dwayne D'Rosario. And they're like, well, who would be number two? And I said, yes, Giles is a friend, but Giles is a very close second. He has the ability to change the game, though, and I think as you've seen his fitness progress over the past couple of years, though, and he's grown into a better player, and not only that, a more mature player. And of course, as he's saying into those Jamaican games, he's just understanding his body and what the expectation is hit on the club as well. And, you know, 2 years not making playoffs, I think the Dynamo is looking a little bit like, hey, listen, there's a bit of an incentive from Owen as well as a club to say, hey, there's a tradition here with the club that we want to get back to. And I think Giles is taking the initiative too, though, as one of the leaders on the team now to say, hey, listen, it's my responsibility to put you guys on my back and to lead by not only by voice, but by example. And so I think that's what you're going to see from one of the most, I think, exciting players in MLS that has the ability to change the game from outside or inside. I mean, he's versatile. He can play multiple positions. And as far as a quality player goes, I mean, yeah, and I think he takes it upon himself to be that guy, that exciting player as one of the top five in MLS, you know, which you'd consider him, I think, probably. But, you know, when you say, okay, how many goals do you score, like a Wondolowski?
No, I wouldn't consider him a top five based on last year. He was a top five up until he started leaving for Jamaica, and then it went south to injury, fatigue. I know he was getting into international football for the first time. That's a challenge. And when you mentioned
totally.
Dwayne De Rosario,
yep.
The first thing that comes to my mind,
international games,
is consistency.
Yeah, of course. No, consistency.
I mean, you're comparing him now to one of the greatest players, in my opinion, in league history, top three. If it weren't for Dwayne's exit, bouncing around club to club at the end, he would have a whole different perception. But for me, one of the greatest players, Landon Donovan, De Rosario, maybe one or two others in the top four in league history.
Completely. But I also think, too, though, as the league has progressed, too, though, and the demand on the players, though, has changed completely, though. Our offseason has been condensed. You're talking about international games. Guys are traveling further, though. There's new teams coming into the league. So you're extending players and the amount of length and miles that you're putting on their legs as well. And guys are getting older as well. Not to say Giles is, you know, old by any means, but there's a bigger demand, though, too, though, than when Dwayne was maybe perhaps.
No, but if we're going to reference everything that happened in 6 and 7 and cups and everything, we also have to reference the quality of the players on those teams. And look, the other thing is that was, what, a 10-team league then? It's now a 20-team league?
Exactly.
I mean, this league has just accelerated Justin into the netherworlds here with infrastructure, with monies, with TV money now. I mean, this is pretty mind-blowing to think where it's come in essentially 10 years.
Yeah, and it's still going, too. There's still more teams to be added. There's still more investment coming through academy programs and all of that. As Mike pointed out, just having that kind of travel in your body through what was 10 teams in the league and then kind of slowly branching out more and more teams, I think as you get to, 22, 24 teams, you know, that's another factor to consider, I think.
But I think also, too, sorry, Glenn, though, as well, is like I think the quality of players that they brought in, too, though, you know, and adding Boniek, pushing back up again, though, as well. I mean, a lot of teams would put more numbers around Giles, though, and, you know, kind of neutralize him in some of the games as well, though. So I think with adding some different players to the mix, though, and a different lineup, I mean, it could relieve Giles, though, and to maybe freak
absolutely
him up.
Absolutely, great point.
Which, giving him a one-on-one opportunity, I don't think there's many defenders, Marvell Wynn maybe, that can keep up with Giles' explosiveness and speed, though, in that beginning first few steps, though. It'll be really hard to keep up with him.
I think it's a great point you made, but, I mean, it's a point that we've talked about over the course of the last 3 or 4 years, that the Dynamo did not have enough penetrators, and it's easy to isolate Giles Barnes, a la the way Atletico Madrid isolated Cristiano Ronaldo this past weekend. I mean, when there's only one or two penetrators that provide that real threat, it's dangerous. So now you're adding Maidana to the mix. The hope is that Wenger is there. Mm-hmm. What about Boniek Garcia, Leo? Do you think he becomes more than a stopgap guy now for various positions, or do you think Boniek competes to try and beat out Wenger for the starting position on the right side of midfield? Or has his game changed a little bit as an older man now?
His game has probably changed a little bit. And I really see Boniek as kind of trying to be that fill-in spot, maybe. Coming off the bench as a super sub, as opposed to being there as a starter, game in and game out. So that's going to it's going to change the dynamic of the Houston Dynamo. Because if you have a guy like Boniek coming off the bench, that's going to work wonders against tired defenses. And the way he's been working with DeMarcus Beasley during the preseason and everything, you kind of get to see a glimpse of what could happen if everything falls into the right places.
So it's going to be an interesting year, as everybody in here attests to. A lot of youth, 9 new players. You know, a team that was really defined by Brad Davis, who has now moved on. We'll talk some more when we come back here. We've got a couple of other interesting things. Mike Chabala in studio, also Justin Jerkins and Leo Ponce. I really appreciate you guys coming up here tonight. It's fun having you in studio here, and it's great to hear all your thoughts on things. And we'll get more of those thoughts when we return. Quick wake here. Bud Light again remind you that they are the official beer of Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. Bud Light remind you, tune in every Tuesday night to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Bud Light, a prime supporter of soccer on the radio. Over the years, without their support, I would never have been able to get a soccer program on mainstream radio. And that goes for all our sponsors. Danish Inspirations Contemporary Furniture, Daspit Law Firm, The Gorgeous Gale, Bar Munich, 7-Up, Daspit Law Firm, and Amigo Energy. So thanks to all those great sponsors. Quick break. We're coming back with more of Mike, more with Leo, more of Justin.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the Gau Studios in Houston, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Mike Chabala has created a fitness program, Sphere Fitness. It's Sphere, S-P-H-E-R-E, .club to get information. Pretty unique, pretty interesting. Check it out for Mike. Leo Ponce writes for Keeper Notes. Thank you, Leo, for coming in here tonight. I really appreciate it. And Justin Jerkins, formerly of Dynamo Theory. We can't get out of him what's coming out of him in the future, but it's something very exciting and very clandestine, I do believe. So thank you for all listening in here tonight. We got more questions to ask about the Houston Dynamo here tonight. One of the other things, Mike, and I'll start with you, that Giles said was he called Christian Maidana a two-way midfielder. Now, I think that is not a category that I would put him in. I do think when the ball's lost, he's going to have some responsibility, but I don't think we're going to see a playmaker in the vein of Dwayne De Rosario, who sometimes is back on his 18 defending.
Yeah, I mean, I think Dwayne in his best days, though, didn't know what defending was. but no, I think if you just look at the formation, though, in the lineup that they're trying to play, right, and you're putting two guys behind and giving him the support, I think it just speaks for itself. And I think you're just giving him the freedom to be able to roam. And, of course, even a Brian Ching in his best days as well tracked guys 90 yards, right? I mean, he was a team player, and I think that's Giles was what he's alluding to. I mean, of course, like the expectation is, hey, score, assist, you know, create some opportunities for our attack. But, of course, I mean, if guys are out of position and you've got to cover the guy, I mean, it's part of being a good teammate. So I think what Giles was alluding to, though, is that everybody's been equally pleased with his contribution, not only attacking, though, but behind the ball as well, which makes a very great, solid team, though, especially one that's going to compete for a championship. You need everybody defending, especially in those late minutes and late games where guys are, you know, fatigued and tired. There's injuries that pop up, but you got a guy that's willing to do the attacking stuff, but then can also help defensively. Shows a selfless leader, though, and somebody that's not really expected to do that, but it only adds, as far as a teammate goes, that can contribute on both sides is really important.
All right, Justin, I throw it over to you. What's the biggest question to you in your mind around the Houston Dynamo in 2016? The biggest question.
So, for me, I think it's the defense. I think that they had some issues last year. They had some bright spots as well, but was it 49 goals? I think they allowed poor road form.
It was an improvement though over the year before.
It was.
Let's not forget.
But it's still not an achievement by any means. And I think that going into this year, I think that they've assembled some players that raise the talent level in certain areas of the field. But I still wonder: is this a team that can they still defend Fabian Castillo when he comes to town? Like, is that? Is this going to be a team that can still compete defensively with that top six Western Conference teams? And I'm not sure if they're there yet. But I mean, we'll see too.
Fair enough, Leo. What's the biggest question burning in your mind around the Houston Dynamo?
I'm going to also have to go with defense, especially with a lot of the new pieces that they brought in. A lot of the academy signings or academy products, if you will. So it's going to be interesting if the defense can hold together and keep those games close. I have trust in the forwards and the midfield working together to at least get one go on, you know.
Was creating chances a problem last year?
Yes, it was, especially
consistently.
Especially whenever you had, as was brought up in the past segment, a player like Giles Barnes kind of coming in already kind of tired, exhausted with injuries, and a player like Boniek that was dependent on to create chances also coming in hurt. So, yes, a lot of it's going to rely on Maidana.
Leo, I'm hearing a lot of excuses here. I mean, it's got to be the year of no excuses. It's got to be the year of player performance. I mean, I get where you're coming from. These are all challenges. I don't for a second not think that the Dynamo got hit hard by international call-ups and injuries. But this is about solutions now. And for me, the direction I see here that this is my quick take on the Dynamo this year. The grace period's over. Got to get back to the playoffs. If you don't, you're going to sink in relevancy in this town. It's very important. This is a critical season.
Especially
The Dynamo have implemented a lot of good things here. I like the work they've done with the supporters group. I like the fact that they're now getting into the player development game in a big way. I like the fact that the team has gotten younger and more competitive. And I like the idea and the plan that has been laid out, not to mention that they acquired a GM in Matt Jordan, but I like the plan that's been laid out for how they're going to play. And that is a winger-based team and a team that's going to have an out-and-out playmaker, which has never really happened before. But the question to me, Mike, is, and only time will tell, is are the players being brought in going to be good enough to execute this new system and this new vision under a new manager?
I hate to say this, but if you look at the past of international players that we've brought into this club, it has been disappointing. And so I think there's an expectation, and I believe that there's a microscope under those players that they don't know, maybe they do, but over the course of the career of the Houston Dynamo, I mean, it's been disappointing. And I mean, there's been some highlights, etc. But
so are you telling us that Franco Caraccio did not perform as amazingly as you expected?
Yeah, Luis Sandin.
I think there's other players that you might have been encouraged by, though. But this is what I will say. I think that the club has evolved, and I believe that adding a guy like Matt Jordan that has the experience on the player side to complement Chris on the business side, and I think that will help Owen to make better decisions and to get out there and find players. And I hope they're the right ones. And I think that, yes, I mean, we all hope that it's going to be the right situation and solution, though. But, yeah, there's no question, though. I think everybody's looking at this season as a make or break, or, you know, it's time to get the Dynamo back to where they were. I think the front office is pressing, the team's pressing. And you know what? It's been a long off season, as Giles alluded to, and there's nothing worse than having an early exit to postseason and having to sit around and watch. And so, of course, you know, a lot of guys have been able to sit around, and hopefully they can, you know, rely on the experience of Will Bruin, Ricardo Clark, Giles, to really get those young guys and to, you know, set the expectation of what's going to be, you know, looking forward to the rest of the season.
And I'm going to toss something out to you guys. Let's run the David Horst interview here real quick. David Horst, we caught up with. Now, David Horst had an improved season last year, I thought.
Yeah, he was great. He was great.
And I think David, in some ways, exemplified the Dynamo defensively. I thought there were times that they looked consistent over a course of a couple of games, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden they get hit for three or four goals, and sort of consistency went out of the window. I'm sure a lot of these other elements played in that, but I think it's a team that has to become more consistent. Here's a little bit from David Horst today.
David, just talk about, you know, the excitement around the opening match.
It was windy, by the way.
The first day is always the best day of the year. You know, it's kind of like Christmas, where you've been working towards it for about 2 months, and everything that you've done has been for this one, for this first game. And so for to finally be here, you know, it's great to see, you know, what we can put together out there for 90 minutes.
All right. Obviously, last year was a bit of a transition year, a new coach, and now Owen Coyle has got more of the players that he's sort of coveted here, and Matt Jordan. What's different with this Dynamo team?
I think with this team, we're more confident right now than what we were last year. Last year, I think we had some great moments, but we also had some pretty bad ones. We were very inconsistent. And I think this year, you're going to see a more steady team, a more consistent team. And I think with some of the players that we've brought in, you're going to see a very exciting team as well.
Is it a challenge playing now with an out-and-out playmaker that might not have as much defensive responsibility as some in the past?
No, not at all, because you look at other teams around the league, and, you know, Portland does it with Valeri, Dallas does it with Diaz. You know, other teams, you know, they have playmakers that don't play much defense, and they do really well. And, you know, it's a very exciting to finally have that guy in the middle, that a guy like Giles Barnes, a guy like Will Bruin, that these guys can feed off of, and the whole load is not on them. They can now spread it out onto Madonna as well. So I think it's going to be, you know, for me, watching in the back, it's going to be really exciting this year.
David, thank you. Best of luck on Sunday against New England.
Thank you very much.
Justin, I loved his response to the playmaker and mentioning Diego Valeri, and
yeah,
that's going to be fun to watch a guy creating chances in front of him.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Diego Valeri is one of those special kind of players in the league that a lot of teams wish that they had, and I think that this is an opportunity for the Dynamo to have one of those players. I think Maidana is very similar to Valeri, but you know, I don't know if I'm still convinced on the defensive thing. I don't see Maidana being a box-to-box midfielder. And I don't know if...
But we don't want him to be. We don't want him
to be. No.
We don't want his energy being wasted on defending.
But you don't want to concede goals either.
There's enough people to defend. You got a block of six there. Come on. Let's have a playmaker that's not worried and strapped and saddled with defending because other teams have figured out ways to do it, Leo.
Exactly. And it's gotten to the point where the Houston Dynamo are chasing other teams. They're chasing FC Dallas. They're chasing the FC Dallas mentality of bringing in younger players, of also trying to play with that playmaker. So that's kind of disappointed, just the fact that we're now chasing other teams.
Mike, quick one for you. You got 30 seconds. Who's the leader of this team?
David Horst. I mean, I say that from a defensive position, though, but I play with him in Portland. Yeah. His vocalism, though, is overwhelming. He reminds me a bit of Bobby Boswell. He reads the game pretty well. Maybe he's not as quick. I think he's quicker than Bobby was, though. But, I mean, he commands attention and a presence back there. And I think, you know, Jermaine and him sometimes were off and on in the past. So I think with him and the experience and the support of the coaching staff, I think he's going to be a very strong force. I mean, yes, of course, losing a lot of defensive players, losing a guy like Brad Davis who kept the team together as well going forward. But, you know, I look to Giles and I look to Will as two guys that are going to help the attacking side. And obviously it's a lot easier when your guys up front are scoring goals, though. It makes your job defensively a lot easier. So, you know, adding that attacking player, though, and hopefully adding some more goals up front, I think will make the defensive job a lot easier and the Dynamo season a lot sweeter.
That'll do it. Mike Jabala, thank you very much for coming in studio, Mike. I appreciate it. Leo Ponce, thank you very much for coming in. Justin Jerkins, thank you, guys. It was really fun having you guys here tonight. Thank you for doing it. So there it is. It'll open up for the Houston Dynamo this Sunday. They will take on the New England Revolution. You can catch a game on Root Sports. Lots of questions coming into the season, but a lot of excitement and optimism as well. My thanks to Gio running the boards here tonight. Twitter, Glenn Davis Soc. Facebook, Soccer Matters. Good night to everybody who listened in, and hopefully we'll see you out at BBVA Compass Stadium on Sunday.